Good evening, everyone. Yes, it's true. One of the smallest of creatures has laid low one of the largest. And the voice of Rudolf Hucker is confined to a small box far away from the orbital. Now, you might see him staring out of the window of a passing medical ship convoy, so just keep clear. I'm Harry Balzac, your host for this evening, and I'm wearing this protective suit just to be careful.
I'm Wilma Fingerdoo, and I'm wearing this tight PVC suit just because I want to.
I'm Mia Harkness, and I'm wearing this suit because it was the only one in my size.
I'm Huang Kerr, and I'm wearing this suit because one has to maintain standards.
I'm Norma Snuckers, and this suit is the most comfortable one I have, even if it gets a bit nippy from time to time, but the Pan Am really needs to breathe along with everyone else.
Watch out when you turn around. That nearly went in my ear. Quick, someone cause a distraction and I'll throw a blanket over her.
It's a jump to the left.
Two into one won't blow.
Here today.
Living in a material world.
Peregrina Peril, Part 2.
Commander Freebooted talks about his package.
Remember, hands, face, space, Lurgy.
It's time for more adventures in space. Firstly tonight, we're bringing you news of an apology from the Pilots Federation. Apparently, they've been trying to raise extra cash by renting the space around planetary settlements to a film studio to use it for visual effects. Now, you might imagine that such a scenario could be quite exciting. Putting on a skin-tight flight suit that's covered in ping-pong balls. Watching someone with an orange on a stick to indicate your eyeline. All in front of a huge screen, green screen that blanks out while, quite frankly, can be a boring background, so that in the end, the viewers can see swooping dragons, vast chasms, clouds, and blue people leaping from tree to tree. Well, it's none of that. It's not the kind of special effects, it's stop-motion animation. Now, I can imagine the corners of your mouth starting to rise a little into a smile as you think of a rocket ship, a dog, and a man who apparently doesn't need a spacesuit, not even with a pumpkin for a head. That's obviously fiction, not part of the Elite Dangerous Galaxy, because they have cheese. No, nothing so sophisticated as a clay model being used to imitate life. No chickens burrowing their way out of a penal colony. No animated bottom half of a flight suit that can be remote controlled if you have a Larsenus penguin. No, this was entirely from a more naive era. Not since a single man with a sword and shield did battle with a load of skeletons or fought off a giant green Leela has such motion been seen. Everything jumped from place to place without any motion in between, as if everyone kept blinking really, really slowly. Go to clunk someone on the helmet with some piece of debris, and by the time your arm connected, they'd flitted round the corner, had some time for a beverage of their choice, and flitted back. The entire place had gone the full max headroom, and FPS stood for pity's sake. Pilots were naturally upset about this state of affairs, and so after much discussion, the Pilots Federation had packed up the studios and reverted the settlements to their previous usage, so everything now should be smooth as Roger Fourboys sliding next to you. But do be aware that if a contact offers to sell you Rapperbell snake skins, don't look into her eyes.
The Pilots Federation's recent community goal initiative to build a string of stepping stone megaships between the Bubble and Colonia saw many truckers engage in a furious frenzy of cooperative endeavour. The project, intended to last a whole week, achieved its goal in under 2 days, almost entirely due to the shininess of the reward goodies on offer. Beyond the usual cash incentives, Brewer Corporation, purveyors of fleet carriers to the spacefaring galaxy, the promoters of the scheme, were also offering brand spanking new modified grade 3A, 4A and 6A frameshift drives. This without any of that fiddly ferreting about gathering materials and data and then schlepping off to the back end of nowhere to see some nerdy engineer who smells faintly of mothballs and spends half their time not making eye contact by ogling at their shoes. Several Hutton truckers were noted to be busily shuttling back and forth to the delivery location, McDonald Settlement in Alcor, in their T9 Space Cows and Sleek Cutters. Amongst them, Commander Socks, Aden, Bam, Count Nugget, Chicks and Duckface were seen in addition to that venerable Galnet double act that is Wotherspoon and Beetlejuice. Now, a phrase that you will hear often in the stations other than loitering is a crime punishable by death, particularly in those stations hosting a CG frenzy with the largest ships, and which is in a direct legacy of give way to ships of limited manoeuvrability is now simply give way to larger ships. However, it can be a little confusing in a T9 to whom you ought to give way. Is it a cutter larger than T9? Who knows? One solution to this conundrum is to simply engage a docking computer and let it calculate when it's safe to negotiate the slot. Unless, of course, you took it out to carry an extra ton of cargo. Having his fleet carrier stuck in Doris, an adjacent system, Commander Chex was jumping in with a full load of computer components, approaching McDonald's settlement in his T9, when he noticed Commander Beetlejuice in a T9 just ahead of him, approaching the slot. Engaging his docking computer, he was pleased to see it quickly flick from waiting in queue to auto dock in progress, and his T9 lumbered up behind Beetlejuice. However, as they both drew even closer, the nose of the cutter suddenly appeared from within the station, lining up for an exit. The cutter was most certainly not giving way to any ships, larger or not, and proceeded to wedge Commander Beetlejuice in the slot. Fitted with only small bump shields in favour of cargo space, it wasn't going to be long before one of them regretted their loadout choices and reluctance to stand aside. Now, Commander Chicks, being the gentleman that he is, being never one to, how should we put it, surprise a lady from behind, well, uninvited at least, but being within the confines of the toast rack, overrode his docking computer and vigorously engaged reverse thrust, withdrawing himself from the slot, as it were. Alas, it was too little too late, and Commander Beetlejuice, skewered from both ends, was pushed backwards into his cockpit by the oncoming cutter. Poor Jude, for one who is quite used to painting the galaxy, then proceeded to explode and vividly paint the galaxy with components of her ship and her cargo, spewing computer components, ceramic composites and thermal cooling units into the void, very narrowly escaping in her personal pod. Several cutter-owning truckers were approached to identify the culprit, but all gave a shrug and, "Not me, guv." So we may never know who committed the most ungentlemanly act. Commander Chicks' only regret, he confided to Hutton Orbital Radio News, was that he did not have the presence of mind to activate his onboard ship's camera system in order to capture the incident so that everyone else could watch it and have a good laugh too.
There's been an outbreak of head recently. Sorry, let me phrase that in another way. There have been several reports of spontaneous baldness in the galaxy. Pilots have been waking up to find that they've gone the full Samson, joined the Picard Cosplay Club, and had a sudden urge to thank a baked potato for no good reason. Yes, sales of suntan lotion for the follically challenged have gone through the roof. Wig makers have been forced to use dead meat's cast-offs. It's a cheaper source because it comes with its own glue, apparently. And the use of sunglasses for any pilot passing by has been a basic necessity. These manhood-shaped rocket owner doppelgangers appear to have fallen foul of what scientists are calling the revenge of the legs. Pilots who have decorated their bonts with a fantastic quiff, or indeed any item that really only works in an en-foot ensemble, find that if they decide to temporarily hang up their legs, perhaps to give them a little extra room in the footwell when carrying a heavy load around the galaxy, that not only is their extra special look gone, but so is their hair. An extreme punishment, perhaps, for going against the natural order of things, you might think. After all, if you've evolved to use your legs, it seems silly to try and reverse things and crawl back into the swamp, even if it is lovely and warm down there in the mud. You may be right, especially as you don't get your good looks back if you get your legs out of storage. The moral of the story? Two legs good, no legs bad. For your hair.
The Pilots Federation has been inviting commanders to meetings behind the bike sheds to discuss those bits you can only get from a scrappy. Yes, they're talking about materials. The secret to manufacturing them disappeared along with the plans for the Cobra Mark 1 and the Moray Starboat, which means second-hand is the only way. The engineers greedily take them all in and, in a quid pro quo, send them to the manufacturers of new ships in a virtuous cycle of recycling, upcycling, and cash backhanders as old as time. However, it has come to the attention of the pilots of the Pilots Federation that this dodgy cartel needs looking at a bit. Yes, sleaze goes deep even out into space. The exchange rates from traders and dodgy bar persons, the casual and lackadaisical distribution of these spares to cupboards and USSs everywhere. The pilots just won't stand for it. Especially if they're on Xbox, they have to stay sitting. But never, one not to turn an accusation of corruption into a PR activity, the Pilots Federation are canvassing the galaxy to find out how to more fairly distribute the micro-materials needed by engineers. Should they just release more of them from their stockpile? Or maybe a few more of the rare ones, like cat videos and settlement defense plans? Should they give them out to good boys and girls at Christmas instead of coal? Or maybe they can revitalize their CQC championship by giving the winners a few gubbins, doohickeys, and whatchamacallits for their real ship when they're flying virtual ones. Whatever the case, this very open and inviting tactic has garnered a huge response, and we expect to see macro changes to your micro material gathering soon. On a side note, everyone has rejected the idea of just buying the requisite component. That would just be silly.
As mentioned earlier, in this very new show, Andervantian appears to have had another incident. Certainly, he's not here. And, as with last week, he sent us in his commander's log by way of an apology. Commander's log. Commander Vantayun. Aboard the Shady Lady. Continued. Number 1.
Local security searching. Hiding in Peregrina. Care parcel arrived by Hutton truck.
Number 2.
Care parcel is 1 ton of bandages. No longer got red on me.
Number 3.
Bored. Gone for walk on planet surface.
Number 4.
Seen interesting plant life. Attempting to document.
Number 5.
Plant life hostile. Suit compromised. Got red on me. Plant life terminated.
Number 6.
Care parcel bandages applied. Red stopped. Mysterious alarm on cockpit dash.
Number 7.
Biohazard alarm.
Number 8.
Planet atmosphere contagious. Potential mods. Quarantine initiated. Send advanced medicines.
Number 9.
Left planet under cover of dark. No sign of pursuit. Feeling a little iffy.
Number 10.
Check temperature. Normal. Checked heart rate. Normal. Stuck finger in onboard medical debris. Says mods. Bugger.
Number 11.
10 days quarantine. Shady lady drifting. Might have temperature.
Number 12.
Gone to find heatsink launcher to cuddle heatsink. Might help.
Number 13.
Now got shivers. Shaking while shaving, not clever. Got red on me.
Number 14.
Bandages applied. Bored.
Number 15.
Really bored. I've started making things out of bandages.
Number 16.
Made snake.
Number 17.
Made rope.
Number 18.
Made complicated bandage hammock.
Number 19.
9 days quarantine to go. Might go mad. Send help.
Commander freebooted, enjoying his freedom from various penal colonies. I said penal. Due in no small part to his newly installed escape pods, has been looking into a different kind of trading. It all started when he couldn't bring himself to dispose of the packaging his python came in. It was just too nice, and the box had a magnetic catch built in, which closed with a satisfying click. But you can't throw something like that away now, can you? This led him to assemble a vast collection of packaging, some of which still has the original product inside. With the addition of his latest items, the box from an early 21st century VR headset, he has decided to display his collection for all to view, in an anarchy system obviously. As his python is a little on the small side, he bought a brand new beluga liner for the purpose, and then, realising it was brand new, mint in box, decided that he couldn't unpack it. After adding this to his acquisitions ledger, he then bought a second-hand beluga and had it refitted as a floating museum, which is due to open to the visitors in the next few weeks. Highlights of the collection include an authentic marathon wrapper, a little Woody in a box, a Domino's pizza box with original cheese, a selection of Tupperware, a little blue bag from a packet of Salt and Shake crisps, an Italian army tank, never used, a large packing crate with the Ark of the Covenant inside that he found in a big warehouse, and a second-hand copy of Parade still sealed in its original cellophane wrapper. His eclectic mix of objects is sure to be a big hit with tourists across the bubble. We just hope he has installed adequate security measures to stop some dastardly thief from plundering it all.
Incoming encrypted transmission. Decrypting. Decryption complete.
Stand by for a message from Haxcom Actual.
Okay, Hexwing, it's obvious we're facing a completely new phase in humanity's conflict with the Thargoids. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. Right now, the status looks pretty dire. Where we used to clear all incursions in 1 week, we are now taking weeks to clear each system from active attack. We have active incursions in each of the Pleiades, Witch Head, and now the Coalsack Nebula regions. 12 systems are registering a massive Goid presence, and one has a significant presence. Now, here's the good news. We've been here before, and we know last time we did push Tharg back eventually. We are going to do it again. Remember that we are hut truckers. When others say a thing is impossible, we just see a challenge. When others get frustrated and quit, we're just getting started. It's time to settle in for the long haul and know that this will be a marathon and not a sprint. Tharg wants to test us again. He's going to find out that we are up to the challenge. Remember everything we've learned about Thargoids, whether through our own struggles of the last few years or by researching the history of the Goid-Guardian conflict. The one thing Tharg respects is strength. It's down to a test of wills, and Tharg is about to learn just how stubborn humanity really is. In spite of Tharg's relentless attacks, the Fleet Carrier FTM Fellowship is still on station in Pleiades Sector PD-S-B4-0, along with many other AXI-aligned carriers. We will continue to fight to clear the incursions in the Pleiades alongside other AXI and independent commanders. Be aware, AXI has also released a new intelligence summary available at www.thargoid.watch. There are still stations needing evacuation in all three regions, so rescue pilots, you still have plenty of options to choose from. Also remember, the rescue ships need emergency supplies, including HE suits, water, and basic medicines. Finally, repair operations have begun on Copernicus Observatory in Astro for any truckers working with Operation Ida. Stay strong, Hackswing. We've been here before and prevailed, and we will prevail again. We're too damn stubborn not to. Watch each other, Six. Keep your eyes on the signal sources. And always be ready to defend the mug.
Hexcom message complete. Defend the mug.
Encrypted transmission complete.
With three adverse states in Hutton space this week, there's a bit of work for you filthy lot to be getting on with. We have two systems languishing on 34%, Barnard Star, of course, which gained a point in the week, and Hill Pass Psi, where 50% of the influence is currently locked up in two conflicts. In each system, a player faction is in second place, so keep an eye on the conflict's ending to restore some Hutton influence. Chepin has been on somewhat of a roller coaster, going from 41 to 61 in just a week. A third system, with a player faction in second place, albeit only on 24. Well done to the Tuckers who assisted the Hanky Clone Army putting things straight. Unfortunately, the outbreak in Wolf 25 that was fettled exactly a week ago has spread to Epsilon Eridani, presumably due to some lax quarantine measures on the part of some commander or other. Commanders are reminded to wear their remlocks in all inside spaces, particularly when meeting people you don't know and especially when talking to those dodgy dudes in station social spaces. Commanders should wash their hands frequently and maintain social distancing in any indoor spaces. So that'll be pretty much everywhere then. And absolutely, there should be no more than one commander in a hangar lift, a surface reconnaissance vehicle, or an escape pod. We have two ongoing infrastructure failures, one in Lord 26, which can be ignored, and the other in WISE 0855-0714, as the cheap water filters we installed only 2 months ago failed prematurely again, as predicted. There is a fleet carrier with spare water filters in orbit at Yamazaki Landing, so all you have to do is ship them down there in exchange for as much silver and gold as you can carry off the station. At the top end of the systems league, just like last week, we have 9 systems above 60% with 2 over 70. We're expanding from somewhere, sometime, probably to some filthy dump we don't want. So let's get them under control so that we can decide where we expand to. Thank you to the truckers that cleared the pirates out of Narnia. It only lost 5 points in the week. The priorities this week are, if you want to truck something, you're going to be busy. Boost Hutton influence in Hill Pass Psi and Barnard Star when the conflicts die down. Ship meds into Epsilon Eridani to relieve the outbreak. And ship in some more dodgy life safety systems into WISE 0855-0714. If you want to shoot something, Floch will tell you what shoot at a little later on.
It's amazing that there's any time to just sit and bask or meander aimlessly around the galaxy by yourself these days, what with the sheer number of and variety of events being organised by fellow community members. Here is some information about just a few of them. As usual, links will be posted in Twitch chat and also in the description of the YouTube upload. The Fleet Carrier Khonsu is around two-thirds of the way along the 124 waypoints of the Cannon Challenge, all of them hoping to get retrofitted interiors to the carrier soon, so they can stretch their legs between jumps. Commander Mephisto has taken time for changing the little pioneer freshener in his cabin to send us this update.
At waypoint 88, the comfy cannon crews featured L09 type anomalies, pulsating green cloud-like phenomena. Then Khonsu crossed nearly 16,000 light-years to get closer to the Milky Way's center again. Here, the next waypoints are only a few hundred light-years apart. At number 89, the first kind of the cute Taurus mollusks could be played with. Rubellum. The next had the Blatium ones as well as the Rutilum calcite plates. Today, the expedition moved to waypoint 91 to find Viridae Taurus mollusks. Next week, the crews will explore even further towards the bulge, and will get as close to the bubble as it has for a very long time. Only 8,500 light years from Sol.
The Wild Wild West expedition is definitely alliterative. Commander Airman Dan has used the Pony Express to let us know what's going on.
Wild Wild West wanders above. The Wild Wild West expedition this week launched into a new and unexplored sector far above the galactic plane after a wildly successful search for Waypoint 11. This sparsely populated sector cannot be searched by normal means, and commanders have taken full advantage of this to make a number of new and unique discoveries for the expedition. Back at Waypoint 10, the Waymark initiative has completed after drawing a galactic scale W and leaving the expedition's mark on the universe for all to see, especially Frontier developments. It is the expedition's hope this mark helps wayward wanderers orient themselves out here in the Wild Wild West. Next week, the expedition starts another climb above the plane with a stop at a red giant opposite a pair of binary red dwarfs. Prepare for sunset screenshots!
Expedition All the Clouds in the Sky hasn't made much progress recently. Commander Diluvian has prized open the rusty door of his carrier to see what's been happening in his absence.
After several days away, I finally went back to my ship on Tuesday. What would you expect when you leave your ship without the captain behind? Not much has been done. Looks like most of my crew is professionally active, so nobody really had time to do any mining. The tritium level is, however, high enough to move forward. The problem is that the location we are in is actually one of the better ones we saw on the way. It was advantageous to stay here, but being just parked with no activity is not really helping. I have to admit that I have been contemplating moving forward and at last reaching our actual first nebula, Spongu. The crew needs motivation and definitely feels like a good idea to get to the very first cloud in the sky. Stay tuned tonight. LHL-317-31Z Zodiac will start moving deeper into the Formidane Rift. That will definitely take a couple of days to get there, but I will try to do my best to accomplish that goal.
As promised, or is that threatened, the 26 had a scavenger hunt that they called the Bandit Run, which involved grabbing 6 items from various parts of the bubble, then hot-footing it back to Hutton Orbital and queuing for the medium pad. Commander DB Exterminator wanted us to tell us how it all went.
Greetings, Commanders. First and foremost, on behalf of myself and the 26th, I'd like to thank all the Commanders that took part in the Bandit Run. Would also like to congratulate the Hunt and Trucker's own Commander Funky Abigail for claiming the first prize for the Runners category and the bonus prize for the fastest time to Hutton Orbital with a time of 1 hour, 24 minutes and 39 seconds. Alas, no one has come forward to claim either of the pirate prizes. The Warhead has proven too much for them. They'll just have to try again next time. For anyone who may have missed this race, the good news is that I've had enough interest, and as it turns out, I've decided to turn it into a league. We'll be taking December off to allow commanders to spend time with their families, but the Bandit Racing League will return in January with an even more challenging and exhilarating event. Stay tuned to Hutton Radio as you'll hear about it here first. Oh yes, one more thing. I did leave a few units of milk in the cargo bay on Hutton Orbital. Thanks again for allowing us to use your station.
There are still a few weeks to sign up for the Magellan experience. All truckers are invited by the Independent Explorers Association to their most ambitious trip to date, covering not only winter, but the first part of next year. Starting November 28, 3307, and the end has been extended by 3 weeks to 6th of March, 3308. From Beta Sculptoris to West Ursa Majoris, heading south towards the Seagull Nebula to link up with the Perseus arm of the galaxy. From there, heading east down the arm, all the way to the very tip to visit Magellan's star. Commander Richard Fluorens M and the team are ready. They report that there are now 100 members signed up. They have a definite route, and all they need are those lemon-scented paper napkins. As promised, Commander Hunter has returned. It's like he was never away. With news.
Ladies and gentle pilots, 5 Euro Tours is back with another stunning journey in our beloved Milky Way galaxy. The old school way, the Southern Nebula Journey. We will be going on a 4-week trip to the south and southwest of the bubble, passing through 25 nebulae along the way. All that without the support of fleet carriers. That's right, the old school way. We will be departing 20th of November 3307 and return on 18th of December 3307, just in time for everyone's favourite holiday.
Remember, if you want your event to feature, please email itookpart@tuttonorbital.com, and you too could be basking in fame and fortune, or at least get a mention.